If you think about the big transitions in your life, I think there's a time in most transitions when you've had the chance to kind of look back and recollect. We go through these changes and we come to the realization that what we thought was permanent was actually more of a temporary container for a part of our lives. There have been times when I've known young people who are working, hoping to purchase their first house, which is such a lovely time of life. And I've heard some of them call it their forever home. And I do that. I love it. I won't say anything, but I know all too well that, well, nothing is forever in this life, really. So a forever home, even the bodies that we live in, my worldview, when you get right down to it, our bodies are temporary shelters for a soul that seems to survive the death that we will all eventually experience. A house is sold, a job ends, a career ends, somebody important dies, children grow up and leave the nest, and what was once a vibrant space filled with young energy is suddenly quiet. All these different transitions in our lives, we lose our pets, which fill a big space in our lives as well. Temporary. Everything is in some way really temporary in life. As much as we like to think of it otherwise, ultimately that's really the part of the human existence that really we can kind of count on. So again, soon this congregation, I'm not sure of the time frame, we'll leave this building. You've done it once already. You left, you came back. Hopefully the next time will be the last time, right? But the building has been your shelter for a long time, and it contains a lot of memories. It holds a lot of important experiences. So this opportunity that we have right now is a big one. It's an important one. It is the opportunity, as I've been talking about for the last few weeks, to contemplate what it is that's essential and what is actually just the form in which the essential has lived. It's really important to kind of take those two things, pick them apart. What is essential and what's the form? You prepare yourselves, you are preparing yourself to leave a building that has held your worship time, your celebrations, your grief, your observations. When someone has died, you observe a life well lived. It's held your music, it's held your silence, your laughter, your companionship, your prayers, your disappointments, it's held changes. A lot has been held within this container. You'll leave here and go to a temporary space for a while, welcome a new minister, and continue making your plans for the new building. There's so much excitement in the future, in that future in particular, but it also brings with it a kind of vulnerability because the familiar ground underneath your feet is shifting. It's already shifting. It's been shifting for a while. Even things like the route that you're used to driving to get here on a Sunday morning, that's going to change. Think about that. You're used to it, right? You know exactly where you're going to go. You might make a stop on your way if you stop and get your coffee or whatever. The route that you drive to come together on a Sunday morning is going to change. All of the ingrained habits that have to do with this particular space are not going to apply in the new environment. Little tiny things, where you sit, what does it look like around you? What does it look like when you enter the space? Obviously, we know this, human beings, we're congregational, we're communal. We need a common world. We need these kinds of spaces. We need places where our lives intersect and where our stories become woven together as they do here into something that's larger than each one of our individual lives. But again, a common world is not primarily a physical location. We have to locate ourselves somewhere. But what's happening to create a common world is not the building itself. It is the network, the interconnectedness of the relationships. It is the meaning that you create together, the commitments that you share, and all of the experiences, all of the shared memories. Buildings shelter that life, but they do not create it. just keep that in mind. The building itself has kept out the weather, but everything that has happened that has been important has been done human to human in this space. The life of this congregation, the life capital L, has never resided in the walls or in the architecture. It has always lived in the promises and the covenants that everyone has made to each other inside these walls, and the things that have been said and the experiences that you've had. So when we talk about a larger house, we are not talking about the building you're going to build, even. The larger house is the congregation itself. It is the spirit of this community and its opportunity to become large enough to carry its identity beyond any singular location. We have talked in recent weeks about thresholds. A threshold, and you're in one right now, is a strange place. It's a liminal space. It is neither where you have been, nor is it where you're going. It is an in-between place. And human beings do not particularly enjoy the threshold experience. We do not like the unknown. We want certainty. We prefer the arrival. We'd rather be there and know, okay, what is it? What do I need to know? What does it look like? What does it feel like? But really, within transformation, some of the most important things that happen to us as humans happen in that time and space, when we are between chapters in our lives. We are no longer relying on the familiar. We are not quite sure what the future looks like yet. And in that space, we have this opportunity to begin to parse out really clearly what truly matters. What are you going to leave behind on this journey? What are you going to take with you? This existential move that everyone is making. For years, probably decades, it's easy to think of a congregation and its building as the same thing, right? Because a lot of churches do remain in the same place for hundreds of years. So the congregation is very much the building. The building becomes a symbol of permanence. It feels solid, it feels reassuring, but there's always a transition, even within a building, that feels that way. And we discover again that what seemed permanent was indeed temporary, the story of our lives. And I think that once we are willing to allow that truth, once we're willing to acknowledge this is a truth of existence, the realization actually becomes very liberating. Because what we know, and we've all lived long enough to understand this, is that reality itself is never a fixed thing. As I said earlier, we are all in an ongoing process of becoming. We are becoming. We are always becoming. Until we take our last breath here on earth, we are in a process of becoming. Everything is always changing. Everything is always evolving. You need look no further than the beautiful world around us to witness how that works. When a flower blooms, how long does it stay? I mean, some do stay for the duration of the warm weather, but most of them don't, right? The lilacs, they came and they went, most of them. And now they're brown, right? What was once purple or white or deep purple, it's brown. It's gone. And I'm guessing the lilacs didn't fight that. It just happens. And it's okay. It's beautiful. Everything is changing. Life itself is a continuous act of creation. I would say that the main goal of any creation is to remain faithful to the cause and to each other. To remain faithful to the cause and to each other while continually becoming something new. It's a very dangerous thing to decide we have arrived, we're done, we're there. We don't need to grow, we don't need to change, we don't want anything to change. That's when life becomes dangerous. You can think of a tree. Again, something as simple as a tree. A tree throughout its entire life is a tree, but it never remains unchanged. It grows, it sheds, it is always reaching toward the light. There is no tree that I'm aware of that gets to a certain height and then thinks, good enough. You look at the top of a big, tall tree, and what do you see? Tiny little shoots moving further toward the light. Every year, a tree becomes more fully itself, more and more a tree through its changes. And communities do the same if you allow them to. If you allow it to happen, communities can do the same. One of the challenges of any transition is that we often choose to experience growth as loss. We might have a tendency to attach ourselves to what is ending. So change becomes loss. We notice what's being left behind. We grieve what we no longer will have access to. And the grief is very appropriate, but grief is one part of the story. Grief is an important part of the story, but it's not the whole story. We also have a tendency to treat the uncertainty of change as a problem that needs to be solved as quickly as possible. This is a problem. This uncertainty, I don't like it, so I've got to know what is happening, and I want to know today, right away. But I'll remind you once again that uncertainty is often what holds all the magic. The unknown future is the potential that has not yet been activated. There is so much magic and potential in the unknown. It is the place where our imagination has fertile soil to dream big new dreams. It's the soil, the unknown. It's where all the good stuff has a chance to take root. The future of this congregation, no one knows what it looks like. We cannot possibly fully know what that is going to look like today. And that uncertainty feels uncomfortable. All of it feels probably a little uncomfortable. But that discomfort, I would call it evidence that something very alive is happening here. That's the way I would choose to see it. Something very alive is happening. A future that is already known would require no faith whatsoever. A future already mapped out requires no courage, right? What does it take to go into the unknown? A whole lot of courage. Faith and courage. I mean, if that's not why we're here, why? The unknown is this incredibly fertile opportunity to activate those things. We need the memories of what came before because it tells us who we are, right? All of the things that came before, that tells us who we are. We need the stories, we need the traditions, we need the ritual, we need all of the accumulated wisdom of everything that came before. We need always to remember the people whose generosity and vision have created the community that we have inherited. But the purpose of those memories of the people and times is not to imprison us in the past. Its purpose is to equip us for the future. The larger house, this is the way I would describe it, is the place where memory and possibility meet. You bring along all that has been important, all that matters, and it meets with possibility, and that becomes the larger house. The larger house that you're going to enter, that you are entering, is the place where we all have the opportunity to become more fully human. By making room for more people, by making room for new perspectives, and more possibilities than anyone has ever yet thought possible. More possibilities you haven't even thought of yet. The larger house has room for those who are already here and for those who have not yet arrived. The larger house is a space that is full of the word and. It has room for cherished traditions and fresh ideas. It has room for those who are excited about change and those who feel uncertain about it. It has room for grief and it has room for hope. And most importantly, it has room for a future that we cannot imagine. It is filled with possibility. The naturalist John Muir once observed that whenever we try to pick out anything by itself, we find that it is connected to what? Everything else. in the universe. And that insight feels like it has a home here in a Unitarian Universalist congregation. We belong to each other. We belong to generations past and generations yet to come. We are always, in choosing to be here, participants in a story that is so much larger than ourselves. The building that will someday stand as this congregation's new home is going to be constructed not only for us, for you, but also for people you have not met yet. Maybe for children who haven't been born yet. Maybe for seekers who don't even know yet what they're searching for. Families who haven't arrived yet. People whose lives are going to be transformed because this congregation chose to act with courage during a time of uncertainty in this world. I'm going to read that one more time because it's important. People whose lives may be transformed because this congregation chose to act with courage during a season of uncertainty in our world. You are not simply building a building. You are building a greater capacity for love. You are building room for community, and you are building, with all of that, a future. And I would say a future that every one of us needs. The larger house, it's not made of wood or stone or whatever the materials are that are piling up or whatever it is, everything. It is made of imagination. It is made of trust. It is made of relationships. And it is made of the willingness to become something larger than you have ever been before. The willingness, the choice to become something larger than you were in the past, than you are right now, and that you can ever even imagine the future might hold. That is the larger room, the larger house.